You're listening to 89.1 Grace Christian Radio. Up next is a replay of our Sunday, March 19th church service with music from Sylvia and worship team and a message from Pastor Ripley.
It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Regardless of how things are going in this world, we are a privileged people. Because we have the salvation of Jesus Christ, we've been called to be the church of Jesus Christ, to be his body. Amen.
Amen.
And as such, the Lord uses different people to serve in their giftings. And this morning I had something already I was going to speak about, but then the Lord used somebody to get my attention to a different portion of Scripture. So we're going to look at Isaiah 49, 1 to 3 this morning. Listen to me, O islands, and pay attention, you peoples from afar. The Lord called me from the womb. The Lord called me from the womb. That's not just me, that's each one of you. We are called people. It's good to think about that this morning. From the body of my mother, he named me. He has made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand, he has concealed me. He has made me like a select arrow. He has hidden me in his quiver. Verse 3, he said to me, you are my servant Israel, in whom I will show my glory. We're a chosen people. When God shoots you forth like an arrow from his quiver, you're going to go, right?
Amen. Amen.
And his protection is the theme here, is what the sister that was speaking about this morning was pointing out. He protects you until it's time to go. And when it's time to go, wherever that is, this community, outside this community, wherever it is, you will go forth with his power and his anointing.
Amen.
He's with us. He will use us. He's called us. And sometimes you might feel like maybe there's not much going on. Maybe you're in the quiver. Maybe it's not your time to be shot out. But he will shoot you out. He will launch you out. And you'll go forth with his power.
Amen.
Maybe, God willing, it'll be today. When you hear the sermon today, God will speak to your heart and you'll be ready to go. And you'll know it's your time that the master archer is shooting you out. Amen? Let's pray.
Amen.
Let's stand together. Lord, we just thank you that you have called us as your people. Mm-hmm. And we are your arrows to be shot forth in your time. And until then, we know that we're under your protection. And even when you shoot us out as that arrow, your protection is with us. Your anointing is with us. And Lord, we just recognize this world of chaos around us as it gets worse and worse. But we just say that you are our protection. You're with your people. And you are in charge and you're sovereign regardless of what things look like. So Lord, we submit to you, to your lordship. We say that you're sovereign. We say that you are God. Be with us. By your power today, Lord God, speak to our hearts. Change our lives, Lord, today.
Yes.
As we come and give you glory and honor because you are worthy.
Amen.
There's none like you, Lord Jesus. Be in our midst, we pray, by your Spirit. Work in our hearts. May we potentially be shot forth today as you, the master archer, shoots us forth. To be your arrows, to go wherever you send us to go. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Are you ready, church? The Bible says, clap your hands, all you people. Shout to God with a voice of triumph. So we are going to worship God in spirit and in truth. Here we go.
When the Spirit of the Lord comes upon my heart, I will dance like David danced. When the Spirit of
bless you. We just thank you, oh God, that you've called us into your house to worship you. Lord, we just say that it is better to be with you than anywhere else, Lord. Anywhere else. I would rather be in your house, Lord, than in the tents of the wicked.
Oh, Lord, Almighty.
Lord, we just confess to you that we don't always see you very well. And we do desire for you to be in the forefront of our vision, O God. That we would be able to see that you are far greater than any of the difficulties of our lives, Lord, any of our circumstances. You are a great God. You are mighty to save, O God. Lord, we just ask that you would open our eyes, Lord. Open our eyes, open our hearts, Lord. Fill us with faith, Lord Jesus, to really comprehend you're far greater. You're far greater than us, and we thank you for that, Lord.
Mercy fall on me. Everyone.
We thank the Lord for the opportunity to come and worship Him, to magnify His name. We have been speaking on faith. And a couple of weeks ago, we talked about moving from doubt to faith. And last week, we talked about the language of faith. And while I was up here on the platform at the end of the service last week, the Holy Spirit impressed on my heart to speak on the smooth stones of faith. The smooth stones of faith. And I believe it's important that our faith in God and in His Word grows. Because there's an evil that has been released over our world. You know, I was encouraged a little bit. I don't know how many here follow hockey. We are in Canada, by the way. But a goalie stood up and said, you know, I can't wear that jersey that celebrates pride. That was quite a stand for him to take, an NHL goalie, a Canadian from Manitoba. But we know there's been an evil released upon the earth, and that evil is attacking our children. It's coming against our little ones. And we just need to be aware of what's happening, and we need to have strong faith in this hour. Our faith needs to be strengthened, and it needs to grow and develop. If you have your Bibles, 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 20. Father, I just pray this morning that as I deliver this word, that your Holy Spirit will speak to your people. That they will not just hear my voice, but they will hear your voice. Speaking directly to them in the name of Jesus. And I'm going to ask it. In Jesus' name, amen. This story is a story of faith. Faith in God. Faith in what God can do. It's a story of taking down a giant. And I believe all of us here this morning have faced spiritual giants in our life. If we haven't faced them yet, you will. Something or someone standing against you to hinder your walk with God. Towering over you and taunting you and telling you lies about yourself, and about what you're facing in your life. Sometimes it's a family issue. Sometimes it's a sickness. Sometimes it's something that's happening in your place of occupation. But all of us at some point in time face a spiritual giant. And I believe that through faith, those giants can fall in the name of Jesus. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 20. So David arose early in the morning, left the flock with a keeper, and took the supplies and went as Jesse, his father, had commanded him. And he came to the circle of the camp while the army was going out in battle array, shouting the war cry. Down to verse 26. Then David spoke to the men who were standing by him, saying, "What will be done for the man who kills the Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel?" Because as the Israeli army was facing the Philistine army, there in the valley was a giant defying the armies of God. "For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should taunt the armies of the living God?" And I looked up that word taunt. A remark made in order to anger, wound, or provoke someone. How many know the enemy is doing that against the church constantly? How many know that Satan endeavors to taunt each and every believer on a constant basis? To anger you, to wound you, to provoke you. And this is what was happening in that valley as that giant, and by the way, they say the giant was at least 9 feet tall. Can you imagine? 1 Samuel 17, let's go down to verse 31. "And when the words which David spoke were heard, they told them to King Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul," now this is a declaration of faith. "Let no man's heart fail on account of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." Now, I don't know about you, but that is a declaration of faith. He saw how big the giant was. He recognized and felt the fear of the army, the Israelite army that was facing that giant. And yet in the midst of all of that fear, in the midst of all of that doubt, in the midst of all of that unbelief, David says to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail on account of him." You know what? We need men and women of faith to rise up in this hour and say, "Don't be alarmed, hallelujah. God is in control. He's more powerful than all the onslaughts of the enemy." Now, as Pastor Raph said, it is discouraging when you look around you, if you dwell on what's happening. But instead of meditating on that, why don't we meditate on the greatness of God? We need men and women. We need young people this morning that will stand up and declare, hallelujah, "My God is able," hallelujah. "Let no man's heart fail on account of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." Then Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him." You know, when you make a declaration of faith, Satan is always going to be there to throw cold water on you, to dampen the faith that God has given you in that moment. And you've got to be ready for that. It's not going to be clear sailing all the way to the harbor. The winds are going to blow. The storms are going to arise. And especially when you step out in faith and make a divine holy declaration. Now, Saul wasn't in the place with God that he should be. He was walking in disobedience to God. He said, "You're just a youth." While he has been a warrior from his youth. What are you thinking? You're going to stand up against this 9-foot giant who has been fighting from his youth? That's not possible. That's not possible. You know, we're hearing that so often, even in the church. That's not possible. That's not possible. That's not possible. That's not possible. How many know with God all things are possible? And then David goes on to do a little teaching, a little reminding. And I find the next few verses interesting. But David said to Saul, "Your servant was tending his father's sheep when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb from the flock. I went out after him with a sawed-off shotgun. A machine gun, grenades, and a 12-inch knife." No, it doesn't say that. "And I went out after him and attacked him and rescued it from his mouth. And when he rose up against me..." How many hunters do we have here today? Come on, how many people have gone out hunting? Can I see your hand? Come on, lift them up nice and high so we can do a registry. And when he, first of all, he says, "I went out after him and attacked him and rescued it from his mouth. I took the sheep out of the lion's mouth, out of the bear's mouth." Think about that this morning. "And when he rose up against me, I seized him by the beard," probably talking about the lion, not the bear, "and struck him and killed him." Let that sink in for a minute. I said, let that sink in for a minute. Now, I've never been hunting, but I know some of you have seen grizzlies, and maybe you have seen some mountain lions. Can you imagine taking a lion by the beard and killing it? Is that even possible? Friends, let me tell you, David experienced the supernatural strength and power from God Almighty. You can't do that in the flesh. You're going to need the strength and power and might of Almighty God. Hallelujah. Just seeing a bear scares me. You see, we don't fully comprehend the power that's available to us as believers. I'm not saying to go out and find a lion and grab it by the beard. No, I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about coming against the powers of evil that are assailing the church. Be quiet. Don't say anything. Don't step out of line. Our world is falling apart. There's more violence than ever before. There's more confusion than ever before because we have left the Word of God and we have left and we have taken on broken cisterns, says the Lord, and we have left God out of our schools and we have left God out of our families and we have left God out of government and now evil is pouring in. David said, I seized him by the beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, since he has taunted the armies of the living God. Satan is taunting you. He's bringing up old wounds. He's exposing your weaknesses. He's trying to convince you not to take another step of faith. He's speaking in the midnight hour and says, if you step out of line, let me tell you, I'm going to come at you with full force. But God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. If God be for us, who can be against us? If God stands with us, we have the full might of heaven on our side. Hallelujah. And Saul said to David, go and may the Lord be with you. Down to verse 38. Then Saul clothed David with his garments and put a bronze helmet on his head, and he clothed him with armor. Verse 39. David girded his sword over his armor and tried to walk, for he had not tested them. So David said to Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not tested them. And David took them off. The New Living Translation says, I can't go in these, he protested to Saul. I'm not used to them. So David took them off. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Yeah. And they're not fleshly. Yeah. But mighty in God to the pulling down of strongholds. Amen. We do not use the weapons of the world. Intimidation and bullying. To bring down the enemy. We don't use those kinds of weapons to come against Satan. We come against him with the weapons of our inheritance. The weapons of righteousness, holiness, and purity. The weapons of God's word, which is the sword of the Spirit. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I will repay. Sometimes it's good just to be silent, and sometimes God encourages us to speak up. David said, I can't use these weapons. It's not what I'm used to. It's not the weapons that I've been using to overcome the lion and to overcome the bear. I'm going to depend on the strength and the power of the Holy Spirit. First Samuel chapter 17, verse 40. As David prepares for war, he puts down the fleshly weapons. He goes back to what God used in his life. He took his stick in his hand, and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook. I wonder what the giant was thinking. Here's this little kid. He doesn't have any armor on, doesn't have a sword. What's he going to do? Breathe on me? And there he is, watching him go down by the brook and pick up 5 smooth stones. I wonder why he chose 5. Why not 2 or 20? Creak like a machine gun of smooth stones. And he put them in the shepherd's bag, which he had, even in his pouch. And his sling was in his hand, and he approached the Philistine. You know, you can't run away from your problems. Have you ever tried to run away from your problems? Can I see your hand? How many here have ever tried to run away from your problems? How many know that doesn't work? You got to face the giant. You've got to face the problem. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. You've got to stare the problem right in the eyes, and by the power of the Spirit of God, obtain the victory. Verse 45. Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, a spear, and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. Did you know that we have a name that contains victory? And his name is the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, we sing it here on Sunday mornings. In the name of Jesus, fear shall be destroyed. In the name of Jesus, oppression shall lift. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, healing is going to come. In the name of Jesus. Faith in the name of Jesus. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, which you have taunted. Then it happened when the Philistine rose and came and drew near to meet David, that David stalled, had a sandwich, and invited some friends to a small group. This is one of the most amazing pieces of this story. The Bible says that David ran quickly toward the battle line. I want that to sink in this morning. He ran. Just like I ran a couple of weeks ago. If you weren't here, you missed it. Someone brought a stopwatch this morning to see if I'd do it again. But, you know, I can't do it unless God says do it. He took his pouch filled with 5 smooth stones, his sling, and he looked in the distance and he saw the giant moving slowly towards him with his armor bearer ahead of him. And as David saw him in the distance, he had a second thought and deserted the group. No, that's not what he did. He ran towards the giant. You know, that takes faith. To run towards your problem full on and with the belief that God is going to do something mighty. Hallelujah. He believed that that giant was going to fall. He didn't know exactly how it was going to happen. He didn't know exactly all the details. But the Bible says he ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine, his giant that was taunting not only him, but the armies of Israel. And David put his hand into his bag and took from it a stone. Now again, he took 5 smooth stones from the brook, but he only needed 1 to bring down the giant. We so often underestimate the mighty power of God. And the Bible says he took the stone and he slung it. And I believe, I know it's not in the Bible, but I believe there were angels holding on to that stone to make sure that it hit the target exactly where God wanted it to hit. Are you hearing me this morning? Glory to God! There was something miraculous and supernatural when that stone came out of David's sling. Oh, can you shout amen, somebody? There was God taking that stone to hit the giant square in the head. Amen. You know, we forget the supernatural aspect of our warfare. Yeah, right. That God is on our side. Amen. That we have the gifts of the Spirit. Yeah. Some people believe those gifts have ended. Mm-hmm. That the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in other tongues, that's finished. Yeah. Friends, I want you to know, it's still alive today. The gifts are still in operation. The power of the Holy Spirit is still available to the church. Can you shout amen, somebody? The power of God. The Bible says the stone sank into his forehead. It didn't just hit him and bounce off. Bing. And you got the biggest bear around. You know, like at the circus. Just bing. Give him the biggest bear. No, it hit the target and it sank into his forehead. Friends, you know what I think? God took his hand and pushed the stone into the skull of Goliath until it penetrated his brain and brought death. One stone. driven by faith, brought down the giant. And then you know what David did? He wept for the giant. No, he didn't do that. Viewer discretion is advised at this moment. Any kids here, put your hands over your eyes. Viewer discretion is advised. He took out the sword of Goliath. And he had a big sword. And he stepped near Goliath, and he took the sword and he cut off his head. You know what? You can't have mercy on the devil. Are you hearing me this morning? Sometimes the snake's head has to be cut off. Are you hearing me this morning? I remember my dad telling me a story about his friend who was unsaved. And my dad, you know, he was always witnessing and sharing his faith and talking about the devil. And the man said, "Why do you talk about the devil so much? What has he done for to you?" The Bible says he's come to steal and kill and to destroy. But Jesus said, "I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly." The only desire of Satan is to steal and to kill and to destroy. And as soon as David cut off the giant's head, the Philistines recognized their champion was defeated. And you know what they did? They started running. And the Israelite army, chased after them. No, everybody gets on board when somebody of faith begins to move in supernatural realms. Are you hearing me? Then everybody says, "Oh, yeah, let's go after them now." And you know what's interesting about this story as I close? It only took one person with faith in God. You see, God had shaped David's life as he was there among the sheep. Oh, what's he doing among the sheep? Why is he working at McDonald's? What could anything come good of that? It's amazing how God can take the simple things and he can shape us, hallelujah. He can begin to make us men and women of faith, hallelujah. In those simple beginnings, oh, glory to God. You say, "Pastor, what do you think is going to happen?" God can bring us to that point of faith where doubt is vanquished and our level of faith has increased, where we just simply believe. Are you hearing me this morning? Doubt has been vanquished and we simply believe, just like David did. He just believed. I don't know what you're facing this morning. Don't know what the giant is that stands against you. But I want to make a divine declaration by faith in God and in His Word. That giant can be defeated in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me say it again. I don't know what your giant is this morning. I don't know what you're facing in your life. But faith in God and in His Word can bring that giant down in Jesus' name. Can you shout amen, somebody? God wants to bring you from doubt to faith. God wants to teach you the language of faith. And he wants to give you the smooth stones of faith. Will you bow your heads this morning? Father, you know what people are facing this morning. You know, Lord, what's happening in each and every life today. And Father, as we have gone over this account today in your word, I pray that it will produce increased faith in each one of us. Faith in you and faith in your word. Lord, I pray this morning against doubt. I pray against the spirit of unbelief. That no matter what the storm is that comes in against us, Lord, we're able to stand in faith believing. We are not going to run away. We're not going to retreat. We're going to run quickly towards the enemy. With the power of the Holy Spirit and the weapons of our warfare and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We will not be intimidated. We will not allow any bullying to keep us from remaining steadfast and unshaken.
Thank you for listening. Have an amazing day, and God bless.